You've crushed it. You've built real wealth. But let us ask you something. If you stepped away today, how long will it last?
For many successful families, the uncomfortable truth is this. What they have built works because they're still in the center of it. Right now, your wealth may be strong, but is it complete?
At the Kitty Sisters, we see wealth as a system built across 5 layers. When each one layer is missing, wealth doesn't fail immediately. It fractures quietly. You don't feel it day to day until scale, complexity, or time exposes it.
That's exactly why we created the Where Wealth Breaks assessment. It maps your current wealth against the 5-layer legacy cake, revealing the gap between where your wealth stands today and what it needs to endure beyond you.
Ready to find out where your wealth breaks? Take the assessment now at wherewealthbreaks.com.
Imagine knowing clearly and objectively which layers are solid, which relies too heavily on you, and which haven't been built yet. Because building wealth and keeping it require different systems.
This isn't about chasing returns. It's about strengthening the system, holding them together. You've made it. Now the question is whether your wealth is layered, governed, and structured to last.
Ready to find out where your wealth breaks? Take the assessments toward building multi-generational freedom at wherewealthbreaks.com. That is wherewealthbreaks.com.
If you ever manage a $1 million portfolio and I hand you over a $100 million portfolio tomorrow, how long before you go completely bankrupt? 10 years, 5 years, 3 years, 18 months. That's what the data says. Not because you're bad at math, not because you're not smart, but because you would be applying the laws of a bicycle to a jet engine. And a law of a bicycle will destroy a jet engine every single time.
Hey, we're Palmy and Nancy Kitty, the Kitty Sisters, and we're here to help you turn earned income into own income and build what actually lasts.
From a $2,000 bank accounts to nearly $500 million in real estate assets, earning our way into rooms we once never thought we belong in. Along the way, we learn success isn't just about making it, it's about making it last.
Here we share money, real estate, and investing strategies, but more importantly, we talk about the systems and decisions that create legacy, certainty, and continuity.
If you value speed, convenience, and execution certainty, and if you're building not just for yourself, but for the generations after you, you're in the right place.
This is the first of the family podcasts.
My name is Palmy Kitty, the other half of the Kitty Sisters. My sister Nancy and I have scaled to over nearly $500 million in assets, returned over $45 million plus to investors, and have helped families preserve $100 plus million in taxes. And what I'm about to show you has nothing to do with working harder. It has everything to do with whether you understand which scheme you're actually playing and whether the rules you're operating by match the level you're at. Before we go into each level, I want to give you a map that holds this entire video together. What Nancy and I have discovered, not from a textbook, but from building nearly $500 million in assets from the ground up, is that there are three unique prerequisites for financial scaling success. Think of them like building blocks. You cannot stack one unless you laid the one beneath it. Skip a block and the whole structure is unstable, no matter how much you add to the top. And by the end of this video, you will know exactly which block you are on and precisely what the next one requires. Richard Feynman, Nobel Prize winning physicist, wanted to understand something. He didn't start with how was it typically done. He started with why it had to be that way at all. Strip away every assumption, every convention, every that's just how we do it, and ask what is the fundamental law that makes this system behave the way it does. We're going to do that with money today. Here is the fundamental law of wealth that nobody in mainstream finance will say out loud. As scale increases, the physics change completely. Not incrementally, not slightly, completely. What keeps a bicycle upright will flip a motorcycle at speed. What makes a rowboat agile will sink a cargo ship. The rules that build a $1 million portfolio will systematically dismantle a $100 million one. Not because the investor got lazy, because the game changed and the playbook didn't. So the question at each level is this: what must be structurally true for the wealth not just to survive, but to compound? Three levels, three different answers. There's an insect called the dung beetle. It is one of the strongest creatures on Earth relative to its body weight. It can pull 1,100 times its own mass. In 100-degree desert, it rolls balls of animal waste across miles of open sand, constantly moving, never stopping, working with every ounce of energy it has. And here's what stops me every time I think about this. Every single piece of energy it generates goes directly into pushing the ball it's already holding. It's owning nothing. It controls nothing. It's building nothing that runs without it. The dung beetle beetle is the engine of its own system, and the system stops the moment the dung beetle stops. This is a trap that building block one, mindset, exists to break you out of. From the moment we were born, society teaches us one thing about money: earn it. Go to school, get a degree, land a good job, work hard, get promoted, earn money. The entire architecture of how most of us were raised, the advice our parents gave us, the path our teacher laid out, the systems our institutions reward is built around earn income. And then one day something shifts. You read something, you heard something, you met someone, maybe you met the Kitty Sisters, and the doors open that you cannot close again. The idea that you do not have to trade your time for money, that you could own something that generates income whether you show up or not. I want to stop here and say something I mean completely. That shift from earn income identity to own asset identity is one of the hardest things a human being can do. Not because the information is complex, because it requires you to unlearn a belief system that was installed before you were old enough to question it. It goes against everything our society has conditioned us to believe about what hard work looks like, about what financial success means. Most people would never make it across the line. Not because they aren't smart enough, not because they don't work hard enough, because the pool of what's familiar is stronger than the pool of what is possible. So if you have already made the shift, if you have already decided that you are someone who builds own income, not just earn income, I want you to hear this. That is not a small thing. That is everything. And most people around you will never get there. At $1 million, most investors have already made that mindset shift, but they have unknowingly rebuilt same income trap inside their own portfolio. You are the asset. You are also the liability. The moment you stop, income stops. The moment you rest, the system rests. You have not built a wealth vehicle. You have built a job with better tax returns. Only 11% of individual real estate investors scale beyond 5 units, not because they ran out of money, because they ran out of themselves. Let me make this concrete. Tom, a 41-year-old, 3 single-family rental, combined value $1.2 million. On paper, Tom's building wealth. In practice, his Saturday morning looks like this. 7 a.m. text from the tenant. Dishwasher's leaking. He drives over. 10 a.m. call from a second tenant. Neighbor dispute. He mediates. 1 p.m. back home, opens his spreadsheet to reconcile last month's rent manually. 3 p.m. he realizes he forgot to send the lease renewal, types it up himself. He told me once, I make about $300 a month per door after expenses. But if I charge myself for the time at what I bill at my day job, I'd be losing money. $300 cash per door per month divided by 10 hours of self-management per door per month, that's $30 an hour. A licensed plumber in California charges at least $150 an hour. A licensed electrician, maybe $120. At that level, you're not an investor. You are a subsidized handyman for your tenant. You cannot outbid institutions on the open market. Blackstone has a cost of capital you will never match. Your edge lives somewhere they don't bother to look. Your edge is information. So for a lot of us, $1 million portfolio is amazing. And a lot of people may actually take a sigh of relief. Now, I need to tell those people, maybe even you, that if you're successful at this level, you're actually in more danger, because success here breeds a false sense of security, and you will carry the habits that got you to 1 million directly into the 10 million game. Mindsets got you started, but mindset alone will not take you to 10 million. To get there, you need building block two. You've heard the phrase, big fish, small pond. We use it to describe someone impressive in a contained environment, dominant, the one who has figured it out. But here's what that phrase actually reveals about how wealth works at scale. Put that same fish in a bigger pond and watch what happens. It doesn't grow into the new environment. It shrinks into it. Suddenly, there are bigger predators. The hunting pattern that worked in a small pond, the tight territorial control, the short-range tactics, the confidence that came from knowing every corner of the management environment, those exact behaviors become liabilities in the bigger water, because the big pond has different rules, different scale, different physics. The fish didn't get smaller, the game got bigger. And the skills that made it dominant in the first pond are exactly the skills that leave it exposed in the second. This is what building block two skill set is designed to address. The mindset shift opened the door, but walking through it and building a $10 million portfolio requires a completely different set of capabilities. These are not belief changes. These are craft skills, how to locate deals before anyone else sees them, how to underwrite a property and know within minutes whether the number works, how to set up a capital stack and structure a deal so that your downside is protected before you close, how to raise money from investors, how to select and manage property management company, how to handle third-party repairs without losing your margins, how to build the systems that keep a growing portfolio from collapsing under its own weight. The investor who has the mindset but not the skill set will stay at 1 million or lose what they've built trying to scale without the tools to do it properly. Belief without craft is just ambition. Craft is what turned ambition into a portfolio. And the most dangerous failure at this level is not incompetence. It is a skill set you build at tier one. Personal control, hands-on execution, being involved in every decision, being carried directly into tier two, where it becomes a liability. Because the building block that sets you up in the first level is mindset. And the building block that gets you the second level is skill set. And unless you develop the new skill sets, you're going to fail. And here's what the failure looks like in practice. 50 unit, solid cash flow, a decade of hard, honest work, the property held in the owner's own name because that's always the way it's been done, personal guarantees on every loan because that's how he started, no formal entity structure because attorneys are expensive, and then one tenant slips on an icy walkway, the lawsuit names him personally, because the LLC wasn't properly maintained, because there was no formal property management agreement, because the liability wall he thought existed didn't. 14 months later, $230,000 gone in legal fees and settlement. Not because of a bad deal, not because of a market crash, because he had bicycle grade level infrastructure underneath a jet engine portfolio. You know, Tom told me afterwards, I spent 10 years building it. I almost lost it in 14 months. And the worst part is I knew I needed to fix the structure. I needed to add to my skill set. I just kept saying I'll do it later, the next acquisition. 68% of landlords with a portfolio between $5 and $15 million still hold properties in their personal name. The average cost of a single premises liability lawsuit against an individual landlord, $150,000 to $300,000 in legal fees and settlement, regardless of the outcome. This is not bad luck. This is a bad design failure. The $10 million investor needs to stop asking, how do I find the next deal? And start asking a completely different question. How do I make what I've already built impossible to destroy? This is the asset fortress. Four walls that separate a portfolio from catastrophic downfall. Wall one, entity, architecture that actually works, not a single member LLC with no operating agreement. Properly structured entity with clear separation between property, maintain corporate formalities, and an attorney who reviews the structure annually. The test is, if you were sued tomorrow, could the plaintiff reach beyond a single property? If yes, your entity architecture is not protecting you. Wall two, capital stack, sophistication, DSC are loans that qualify on property income, not personal income. Bridge lending for repositioning plays, private credit relationships that move faster than conventional banks. The investor is still financing everything through a personal guarantee at this level. Is leaving both protection and optionality on the table. Wall three, professional management separation. If you're still a property manager at $10 million, calculate the real cost. If your time is worth $200 an hour professionally and you spend 15 hours a week on your property management, you're paying $30,000 a month. Month in opportunity cost for a job a manager would handle for 6 to 8% of the gross rent. The math is for you being your own property manager past 5 million. It never did. You just hadn't run the number. Wall four, a management operating system, weekly financial dashboards, monthly portfolio performance reviews, quarterly repositioning decisions, a defined escalation protocol for every category of decision. At this level, if you're still the system, you are at risk. Governance beats returns. A 10% return inside of a properly structured fortress outperforms 15% return in a legally exposed portfolio every single time. Because 15% portfolio has a catastrophic downside, the fortress has already permanently eliminated. The move this month, schedule a full entity audit. Pull every property, every loan document, every LLC filing, answer three questions for each. Is the entity properly maintained? Is there real liability separation between properties? Is there any personal guarantee that can be restructured? That appointment is worth more than your next acquisition. Fix what you have before you add to it. But here's what I also need you to understand. Even with the mindset, even with the skill set, even with the fortress protecting everything you've built at 10 million, there is still one thing that separates the investor at 10 million from the investor at 100 million. Skill set gets you to 10 million, but skill set alone will not take you to 100 million. To get there, you need building block three. There's an ancient Japanese art called kintsugi, where a ceramic bowl breaks and the kintsugi artist doesn't discard it, doesn't hide the damage, doesn't try to restore it to what it was before the crack. Instead, they fill every fracture with gold. And here is what that process reveals that most people miss. The repaired bowl is structurally stronger than the original. The fracture points filled and reinforced with metal more precious than the clay itself become the more resilient part of the entire object. The break didn't weaken it. The intentional reinforcement of the break made it stronger than anything the original firing ever produced. Kintsugi doesn't pretend the break didn't happen. It makes the break the most valuable part of the story. This is what building block three asset architecture looks like at the highest level of wealth. Not how you find the asset, how you operate it, how you design it to survive every condition you cannot predict. Market crashes, tax code changes, political environments, generational transitions, and your own death. Real generational wealth is never built by families who never broke. It's built by families who broke, lost deals, survived recessions, buried businesses, made catastrophic mistakes, and then reinforced every fracture point with intentional architecture until what they built became stronger than anything the first generation originally imagined. The Kintsugi principle applied to wealth. The dynasties that last are not the ones who never cracked. They're the one who designed for what happened after the crack. Nancy and I have had those cracks. We've had deals fall through that felt like the floor is dropping. We've lost our fashion business completely. Moments where we looked at each other and thought, this might be the one that breaks us. And in those moments, we had a choice every investor at this level eventually faces. Patch the wound and move on, or go all the way down to the structure and fix the thing that made us vulnerable in the first place. We choose the structure. Every time. We didn't just fix a deal. We changed the trust architecture so the specific failure could never reach us again. We fill our own cracks with gold. And what we have today, the $500 million, the $45 million returns, the $100 plus million in tax preservation, that didn't get built despite the fracture. It got built because of what we did with them. The data on this is unambiguous. 70% of wealth transfers fail by the end of the second generation. 90% fail by the third. The primary cause is not the market condition. It's the absence of governance structure. Family offices with formal investment policy statements and governance committees preserve wealth across generations at three times the rate of informal managed family wealth. Meanwhile, the top 0.1% of wealth holders in the United States pay an effective estate tax rate of under 3%, not through evasion, through structural design decisions made decades in advance. The Rockefeller family, John D. Rockefeller, built the largest fortune in American history. When he died, the government expected to collect an enormous estate tax. What they found instead was a trust structure so deliberately designed that the wealth passed almost entirely intact to the next generation and the generation after that. And it continues compounding today, more than a century later. The wealth outlasted every tax code written to capture it because the structure was built to outlast every tax code written to capture it. The Walton family. Sam Walton used a family limited partnership structure to transfer Walmart equity to his children before the company exploded in value at a fraction of the eventual estate tax exposure. His heir didn't inherit Walmart at its peak value. They inherited the structure that held Walmart before it reached peak value. The vehicle was designed before the asset appreciated. This is not luck. This is institutional grade architecture deployed decades before it was needed. These families are not wealthy because they're lucky. They're wealthy because they stopped managing portfolios and started building private economies. Economies with governance structures that operate independently of any single person's presence, memory, or lifespan. At $100 million, you are no longer managing a portfolio. You're building a private economy. One that must survive market cycles, tax code changes, political environments, generational transitions, and eventually your own death. Four structural elements that makes this possible. Element one, trust architecture. Not a estate planning, institutional trust structuring, dynasty trust available in Nevada, South Dakota, and Delaware that shelter assets from estate taxes for generations. Irrevocable life insurance trust that replaces wealth consumed by estate taxes. Charitable remainder trust that converts appreciated assets into income streams while eliminating capital gains. The families who don't have these structures are not avoiding complexity. They are funding the government's retirement instead of their grandchildren's. Element two, family office systems. A written investment policy statement that defines asset allocation, risk parameters, and decision-making authority. A governance committee with defined meeting cadence, voting rights, and conflict resolution protocols. The greatest destroyer of dynasty wealth is not market volatility. It is unstructured family disagreement about money. Element three, the K-shaped design. Earned income funds that trust contribution. Trust distribution fund the next generation investment capital. Investment returns fund the trust growth. The compounding loop is structural, not behavioral. It does not depend on the next generation being disciplined. It depends on the architecture of making undisciplined decisions structurally difficult. Element four, governance beat bloodline. The third generation heir who dissipates a dynasty is not a failure of genetics. It's a failure of design. Investment committees with independent advisors, financial education for children that begins years before they touch the assets. Distribution policies tied to demonstrating financial literacy, not age. You're not just building wealth. You're building the people who will carry it. The move at this level level, find an estate planning attorney who works exclusively in multi-generational wealth transfer. Ask him one question. If I were designing this portfolio to pay zero estate taxes across generations, what structure would you build? The conversation would be the most valuable hour you spend this year. And then ask yourself the Kintsugi question. Where are the fracture points in what I've built? And how do I fill it with gold before it cracks further? I want to ask you something. I want you to actually sit with this. If you were to start over knowing everything you know right now after you watch this video, what would you build differently? Not what would you buy? What would you build? Because every investor I've watched make the leap from 1 million to 10 million to 100 million say the same thing when I asked them that question. Without question, without exception, the answer is always, I would have stopped being the operator sooner. I would have started building the structure earlier. I would have stopped mistaking income for wealth. So here's a map one more time. The mindset shift gets you started. It breaks you out of the earning income trap that society built around you. And that is an enormous, courageous, irreversible thing. Honor it. The skill set gets you to 10 million. Underwriting, deal sourcing, capital structure, operator selection, the craft that turns belief into a portfolio, and the asset architecture, the trust, the governance, the system that operate without you, the structure designed to outlive you. That's what gets you to 100 million and keeps it across generations. Most people lay the first block, some build the second, and almost nobody designs the third. And that gap, that specific structural gap, is what dynasties either built or lost. The bicycle didn't fail. You outgrew it. The question is whether you know you have. The K-shaped economy isn't a graph. It's a choice of architecture. One path is a dung beetle, strong, disciplined, permanently exhausted, pushing the ball forward alone. The income arrives as you do. The moment you stop, it stops. The other path, the Kintsugi bowl, cracked by life, reinforced with intention, stronger at every fracture than it was the day it was made. The first path requires you to never stop. The second path requires you to build something that doesn't need you to. We created a resource called Scaling Own Income Roadmap. It walks you through exactly which structure your portfolio needs at your current level, whether you're at 1 million approaching 10 or already thinking about the institutional layer. It takes less than 3 minutes to complete and it's completely free. Link is in the description. The point of this video is for you to close the gap where you are and where you already know is possible. The physics are real. The rules change at every level. The fracture point in your story are not liabilities. They are where the gold goes. I'll see you in the next one.
Thanks for listening to the First of the Valley podcast. We hope today's conversation left you feeling inspired and maybe even equipped with one idea you can take with you as you turn earned income into own income and build something that actually lasts.
If today's conversation resonates, here's how you can support the show and help it reach more families, investors, and entrepreneurs who are creating a lasting legacy. Hit follow and share this episode with someone who's thinking beyond themselves and into generations after them.
And if you're feeling generous, leave a review. Means more than you know. Those few words help the right listeners find these conversations right when they need it most. By doing this, you're helping families build legacy, certainty, and continuity.
For show notes, links, and resources from today's episode, head to thekittysisters.com.